for a moment, it is their goal to make sure you have a Bible that you might study with us. Just raise your hand, and these guys will pass the Bible over to you. And if you need a Bible to keep, it's yours. Take it and use it. Or if you know somebody needs one, pass it on. Again, there's no charge. Just get it out there and get it used. And for all of us, Matthew 18. On Sunday nights, we go through the Bible around here, and Lord willing, we'll be going through the entire chapter 18 here, verse by verse. It's an awesome chapter. It speaks about little children and some other important topics, and I encourage you to come out and check it out. But this morning, we're going to start at verse 21. Of course, a well-known portion of Scripture, how I pray that we will never let familiarity turn us off. But instead, let's be very open to God speaking to us this morning about this text, Matthew 18, starting with verse 21. Peter's talking with Jesus. It says, "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?' Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but he went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." Look at verse 21 again. Peter comes to Jesus and says, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" With this question, Peter sets before us a question that most, if not all of us, have had to wrestle with at one time or another. The question being, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Forgiveness of others and its opposite, unforgiveness, is one of the biggest problems that I as a pastor see in people within the body of Christ. Oh, it can come disguised in a lot of different forms, but down deep it's unforgiveness. Sometimes it's dressed up in a suffering martyr attitude. Other times the person just withdraws from people altogether. Sometimes it's a coldness, a hard-heartedness. Sometimes the pain of the hurt is just so strong that the person chooses to just bail on all feelings altogether and just relate from the head only and leave out the heart. Whatever form it has taken, down deep, it's unforgiveness. This morning is Peter's question also your question? Are you one of the people I just described? The hurt, the pain, whatever it was, has brought into you one of these reactions. Or maybe it's not one of these particular reactions. Maybe it's resulted in some other reaction. The point is, the source is the same. Something happened. Something was done to you. And now you sit here Your trust has been shattered. Expectations have been dashed. You have unforgiveness in your heart. This morning, I pray God will speak to each of us about our hearts and about this area of forgiving others. I've called this portion this morning the title that this scripture, this section is known as, and that is the unforgiving servant. It might make us squirm. We might try to dodge the bullet. We might say, no, that can't be me. But let's be open. The unforgiving servant. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this awesome time of worship this morning. Lord, already you've begun to touch our hearts and you've been preparing us, Lord. Because there's something you want to do in our lives, Lord. And for many of us, I suspect, Lord, there's something you want to root out of us. There's something you want to set us free of. Something that's holding us back. Something that's plugged up the pipeline between us and you in some ways in our lives. Lord, this whole area of forgiving and unforgiveness and how to handle the things that have been done to us, would you help us, Lord? By your Spirit, Lord, help us to not just hear your answer this morning, but to take it. So lead us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at the Lord's response to Peter after Peter says, how many times should I forgive my brother? Verse 22, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now, of course, the real point to Jesus' answer is not that you can forgive 490 times and then you can go get them. It's not to walk around with your adding machine, you know, okay, that's number 322. You're just waiting till that time. Okay, I've had it. The point is that we're to keep forgiving. We're to have an attitude of forgiveness in our hearts. See, it's not a matter of mathematics, in a sense. Jesus is saying it's not a matter of mathematics. It's a matter of the heart. Why? Why should we forgive? Because unforgiveness is sin. And sin cuts us off from God. It puts a cork in the pipeline between us and God. It just does. Why should we forgive? Because Jesus has told us back in Matthew 6, he said, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Why? Why should we forgive? Well, as we read in Hebrews 12, it says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. We forgive because the Lord says it cuts us off from Him. We forgive because He told us to. We forgive because if we don't, this root of bitterness will begin to grow inside of you. You'll come short of the grace of God. One translator, I believe, puts it, you'll miss the good things because you'll begin to get bitter. That root of bitterness will begin to creep in your life, choking off your spiritual life. It says a root of bitterness springing up and it causes trouble. And how it does. In response to all this, there may be some here that would say, hey, you don't have to convince me, Pastor. I realize I know I should forgive that person. I should forgive what was done to me. I know I should forgive. I want to forgive. But how? How do I forgive? How am I supposed to forgive? You don't know what was done to me. You don't know the abuse, the hurt, the betrayal that I've experienced. Let me say this. I do know there's a lot of hurt out there. I've worked with a lot of people who've gone through some horrible, horrible things. As children, as adults, rough stuff, no doubt about it. Abuse that by any definition is wrong. But on the other hand, you're right. I don't know what you went through. I don't know what it was like to have that happen to you. I can't be inside your skin, so to speak. I can't really know what it was like to go through, to have happened to you what happened to you. I don't know what you've gone through, but God does. God knows what you went through, and He this morning is saying you need to forgive it. And now here we come to the bottom line. Because to that statement of mine, that God says you need to forgive it today, you might say, then God is asking too much. God, you're asking too much of me this morning. I love you. I know you love me. Lord, but you're asking too much if you want me to forgive that. I pray that by the time we're through, you'll see that God isn't being mean and asking that of you. That He's not out to get you. This morning, He's out to set you free from what that unforgiveness has done to you. And for some, it's been so long, you don't maybe even realize what it's done and what it's still doing to you. What would you do if you were told by the doctors that they had discovered a small tumor in your abdomen? But they've got some good news about this, and that is that it is isolated. And if they go in now, they can get it all out. What would you say to that? Perhaps you might say, you know what? I don't want to go under the knife. Can't we just skip this? Let's just forget the whole thing. Just let it go. Well, what's wrong with that? Problem is, if you leave it alone, it's going to eat you up and destroy you. Is the doctor mean because he's saying, come on, we need to cut it out? Is the doctor mean? You go, oh, how mean you are that you want to help get me better. No, you understand that even though he's going under the knife and means some pain for a period of time, the end result's going to be better. But if you don't go under it, you leave it alone, it's going to eat you up alive. Unforgiveness is like a cancer. If you harbor it, if you don't do anything about it today, when will you? And it will grow, and it'll be that root of bitterness springing up inside of you, and it will spread, and it will eat you up. So God in His love points it out. He says, come on, there's this area. I know sometimes you just pretend it's not there. I know sometimes you just try to push it down. You deny it. You defend. You excuse it. I know, but it's still there, and I want to cut it out. And surgery isn't fun, and spiritual surgery isn't fun. But when the Lord's holding the scalpel, you can trust Him. You can trust that physician. He does perfect work. But you need to go under the scalpel, so to speak, in terms of forgiveness this morning. What are some reasons we don't forgive? One reason we don't forgive people who've wronged us or something that was done to us, one reason we don't forgive is that we think if we forgive, that in essence we're saying it's okay what they did. I can't forgive that person because it's like saying it's okay. Forgiveness isn't saying that what was done was okay. If it was okay, it wouldn't need forgiveness. See, we're defining forgiveness, aren't we? What forgiveness really is. What they did was wrong. But your hanging on to it doesn't keep making it wrong. Why don't we choose to forgive sometimes? Coupled with the idea that if we forgive, it makes it seem like we're saying it's okay, is that sometimes we don't forgive because we feel that if we forgive them, they'll be getting away with it. They'll be getting off free. And they don't deserve to get off free. I'm not going to forgive them because they don't deserve to get away with this. And so we hang on to our forgiveness, and we'll really look at it. We hang on to our unforgiveness because we kind of, somewhere we think that it's a way of punishing the other person. It was wrong. They don't deserve it. They need punishment. So I'm not going to forgive them because if I forgive them, it's like they're getting away with it. But our holding on to unforgiveness doesn't punish them. It punishes us. Because unforgiveness separates us from God. See, by holding on to unforgiveness, they keep winning. We keep paying for the event every day. Besides, do you recognize in the end you don't have the capability to relieve someone of their sin or to hold them accountable for their sin? That's not your job. You don't have that power. Only God can cleanse us of our sin. When you choose to forgive, it's simply freeing you up from what it's doing to you. Do you know that all sin that's ever been committed will be paid for? Every sin that's ever been, ever is right now, or will be committed will be paid for. Do you know that? In one of two ways. It'll either be paid for by the person who committed it, which means death, spiritual death, an eternity spent separate from God. Because the wages of sin is death, spiritual death. Or that person will cry out for Christ to pay for those sins. Sin is never just winked at by God. It isn't put on the carpet and say, we'll pretend it never happened. No, he says one of two things are going to happen about every sin. Either you pay for it, which means separation forever, or you let Jesus pay for it by what he did on the cross. But at that you may say, wait a minute, I don't want what they did to me to have Jesus pay for. That's too easy. They need to pay. Interesting. We want mercy. We want grace for us, but we want justice for the other guy. But forgiveness won't have been free to God. Free to us, so to speak, but it'll come at a very great cost to the Lord. Jesus paid a great price for each sin that people received that forgiveness for. How do you feel when you think of the sins you've committed being laid upon Jesus? Does it seem unfair? Do you feel like, hey, I should have to pay? Well, we might say we realize we should have to pay, but we thank God that we don't have to. But maybe that helps us see the cross and our sin in a different light. You see, our sin, the sin that we have laid upon him, the sin that we have received forgiveness for, was exactly the same as the sin committed against us. And for us, we just thank God that there was forgiveness for us to receive for that. We could be forgiven of it, but we want the other guy to pay. We want the forgiveness. We don't want him to be able to get away with it. That's not fair that Jesus should have to pay for them. They should have to pay for what they did to us. But thank you, God, you forgive me. Think about it. We are no different from those that have wronged us. A third reason that we don't forgive others sometimes is because we're waiting until we feel like it. We could keep praying, Lord, make me feel forgiveness. Lord, give me forgiveness for that person. Help me to feel forgiving towards them. But forgiveness isn't a feeling. It's a decision. It's a choice that you make. And if you're waiting until you feel some warm, fuzzy feeling to be able to forgive, you'll probably be waiting a long time. Because forgiveness really is the caboose. Excuse me. Feeling is the caboose. Forgiveness is the choice. That's the engine. That's what drives it. You make the choice. Forgiveness is a choice. The feelings are the caboose. They'll come along later. But forgiveness is a choice, not a feeling. I don't know. I've spent a certain amount of time right now trying to address some of the reasons people don't forgive. But there are probably a lot of reasons why people choose not to forgive somebody. To forgive that thing that was done. Things, maybe over a long period of time, that were done. There's a lot of reasons that people don't forgive. Question is, what's yours? What's your reason that you won't forgive this morning? Would you stop and think about that person right now? You know, if God's poking your heart, there's somebody you've got something against. And I probably don't have to, if it's something active in your life, we probably have to dig too far, if you're really honest. There's somebody that you recognize that you have unforgiveness towards. And I could start naming possibilities in your life. But if I didn't name yours, you might feel like, oh, he missed me. I dodged that bullet. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let God just point out to you, hey, the pastor's talking about so-and-so right now. And you know how it is. And you know what they've done, of course, and you know who it is. You thinking of them? Why won't you forgive them? Chances are you might say one of the things I've already said. Maybe it's something else. Whatever it is, the Lord's calling you this morning to a better way. You see, many people are frozen. They're stuck spiritually. They don't connect the two, why they are. Lord, why it seems so stale with you sometimes? Why I'm not growing much? Why I seem to struggle so much? And they're not connecting that with the fact that they're harboring something over here. Because that's just like in a compartment, and that happened maybe a long time ago, or whatever it is. But you got it kind of isolated, but meanwhile you're trying, but not getting anywhere, and they're not connecting. This morning the Lord wants to show you the connection. The root of bitterness comes up, and we get stuck, and we wonder why. So how? How do we forgive? It's interesting. Jesus, in verses 23 through the end of the chapter, tells us specifically how we're to forgive. The basis upon which you're going to be able to forgive, and you're going to notice something. He doesn't talk about revenge or so many things we might think about. He's going to tell you, how do you forgive on the horizontal level with people? He's going to say, by looking to the vertical. But she. He said, I know. But then he tells this awesome parable. Let's look at it again in light of what we've just shared. Jesus says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he began to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents, a measure of a weight. It's a weight of gold, a weight of value. Point is, it's a whole lot more than this person has. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children, all that he had, and that payment be made. Sell him into slavery, sell everything he has to pay this debt. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. In reality, the master knows this can't happen. It's beyond what the guy can pay. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, far less than what he was forgiven of. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved, and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Of course there's much here. Of course there's much we could debate, much theology and everything else perhaps. We're not going to go there. We're going to go to the main point of the message. What's the main point of the message? It's about a person that owed a master 10,000 talents. It's like you and I, because we're the servant. And we owed the Lord everything. We owed God 10,000 talents. We had Zippo in our pocket. We were spiritually broke. But we said, Lord, forgive me. And he did. But then that same servant turns around and goes to another servant and won't pass it on. Are you sitting here thinking like, well, wait a minute. God forgave me, but he didn't have to forgive me all that much. I didn't know that big a debt. I wasn't like a mass murderer. Oh, yeah, I wasn't a good person. I guess, yeah, I had some sin and all, but come on. You know what? If you think God did not forgive very much when he forgave you, that he didn't have to forgive very much, then you don't understand your sin. You don't understand the blackness of sin, the depth of sin, the price of sin. And the Lord here isn't trying to rub our nose in our sin. He's trying to help us find a way to be able to be set free from unforgiveness of others. To be set free from the anger and the resentment and the bitterness that's going on in our lives. Look at verse 28. The same servant went out, found a fellow servant who owed him. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat. Who do you have by the throat today? Well, I don't get anybody by the throat. You know what I mean. In terms of your attitudes, you're dealing with them. Spiritually, emotionally speaking, who do you have by the throat today? In other words, who is it that you say, ain't going to forgive him, ain't going to forgive her? Who do you have by the throat? Are you right there in verse 30 where the person says, please forgive me, and the person says, he would not. Is that you? I will not forgive. In your heart, basically you're saying what he said up in verse 28, pay me what you owe. You're going to pay for this. Interesting. Verse 32, the Lord calls this servant, the one who's forgiven but won't pass it on, he says, you wicked servant. Ouch. I'm not a wicked servant. I just don't think they should get away with it. On and on we go. And he says, no. I want you to look at your heart in this. Do you need to let go of your grasp of someone today? Your grasp of their throat? Is there someone you need to forgive for your sake today? Is it time to leave this place today set free of perhaps years of resentment and bitterness you've been holding on to? Or will you just take it out and keep on going down the road with it? And all that it's going to keep doing, all eventually eating you up. The bitterness, the hardness, just think how much emotional, spiritual energy you burn up every day just to keep that thing in a closet. Peter's suggestion up in verse 21, he says, well, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times? That's also important to look at for just a moment. You see, it's been pointed out that the Jews used to advocate you should forgive someone three times and no more. So really, when you look at it, Peter here is being a pretty good guy. He's doubling it and adding one more for good measure. And anybody standing around would have said, wow, Peter, that's very gracious. Man, you're going the extra mile and further. Not just three, but six, seven times. Would look real good to everybody else around. Perhaps that's you. Perhaps that's the boat you're in. You were wronged, and you forgave it. But it happened again. Now what? Seven times? See, at this point, the world says what? The world says, burn me once, shame on you. Burn me twice, shame on me. I should have never trusted you again. I shouldn't have forgiven you. I shouldn't have opened my heart to you again. Shame on me. The idea is never give a second chance. Maybe you have put up with a lot. Therefore, maybe you feel justified in your unforgiveness. But what does our Lord say? Seven times seven. And it means keep on forgiving. Jesus is not like the world. Jesus will never call you a fool for obeying him, for loving instead of holding on to bitterness and resentment. See, it doesn't matter if others say you have the right not to forgive someone. Sure, you can always get people to agree with you. Oh, I don't blame you. You have a right to not forgive them. That was so wrong what they did. Be careful when standing before God of claiming your rights. Do you really want to ask God to give you what you deserve? If you want to ask God, God, give me what I have coming, let me know so I can step back real far. Be careful in claiming your rights. And be careful of mustering everybody around you to support you and claim I have and your right not to forgive. We need mercy and grace, don't we? And that's what God gives. But then he says, pass it on. How do you know if you've really forgiven someone? Forgiveness is complete if you allow God to use you as an unrestricted vessel of his love for that person. You see, when you forgive someone, it's gone. What I mean is, it's not an ace that you slip up your sleeve that later on at some chosen moment you pull it out and play that trump card on them again. If it's forgiven, it means it's no longer to be brought up. If when you hear that name and you, it makes you think of that person in a bad way, then it's probably still an issue. In marriage, a lack of forgiveness can be evidenced by a lack of warmth, a lack of closeness, be it physically, emotionally, or spiritually. A lack of oneness or lack of openness in a relationship all points to unforgiveness. This morning, God will give you the power to forgive if you're willing to do it. He's showing you how. In verse 35, he says, it's got to be from the heart. It's got to start there. It's a choice you make. Because the heart in the Bible means the will, the center of who I am. It's the seat of my choices. And I make that decision to forgive. It's a must. Either it's forgiveness or unforgiveness. What will it be? Forgiveness isn't something you have to do. It's something that we get to do. Because God has set this up that I don't have to live in response to what was done to me anymore. I don't have to keep paying for yesterday with today. He's given me the means and the power and the pathway that I can be set free. I don't have to let yesterday keep ripping me off. I don't have to live looking backwards. I'm saying it's time to take the cork out of the pipeline between you and God. It's time to realize what you've been forgiven of. And that being the case, how can you not pass it on? It's time to forgive. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up and join us. Now, I know when the worship team comes up, typically we stand up, but we're not going to stand up for just a moment. We're going to think about this. Is there something today you need to get cleared up in the area of unforgiveness and forgiveness? This morning, do you need to let somebody go? You need to let go of their throat. These verses are so critical to a healthy spiritual life. We must forgive. It's not an option. The one who died for us and forgives us says, come on, look at what I've done for you. Now, how can you not pass it on to someone else? And our arguments begin to melt in the light of the cross. He's saying, don't look horizontally for the power, look vertically for the power to do that, and then express it horizontally. How do you forgive? You forgive by remembering all you've been forgiven of. I want to summarize this whole issue of forgiveness and our attitudes regarding it by saying this, and I hope you remember it. This is something our daughter, Kathy and I, our daughter shared with us a long time ago. And I've always remembered it, and I'd like to pass it on to you again. When it comes to forgiveness of others, please remember something our daughter has expressed to us. She boiled it down to this. She said, when all else fails, remember the nails. Do you need to let go of someone this morning? Do you need to forgive? Only God needs to know the specifics. No one in this room else needs to know the specifics. But is it time for you to let go of that thing? Let go of what you've been feeling about that? Is it time to say, God, I got to give this to you. I see it. You're speaking to me this morning, Lord. I need to forgive. I'm going to invite you to do something. While the team leads us in a song, it's between you and God, but it needs to be a decision you make. And I want to pray for you. And you're not going to be asked to explain what it was. That's between you and the Lord. But I'm going to ask you to stand. If you need to forgive somebody this morning, and you know you need to forgive somebody, during this song, just stand in where you're seated. Just go ahead and stand there. And we'll pause in a few moments here, and we'll pray about that. But I want to give you an opportunity to leave it here. Father, you do know us inside out. And you know that thing we're struggling with. You know that person right now we're struggling with. Lord, you brought us to this point, and now you're extending this invitation to us. And Lord, I pray, help us receive. Help us to receive of and pass on now, Lord. Help us to extend what you've given to us. Lord, I'm just praying, Lord, that it be a day of some of us just, whoever needs to, just letting go. Letting go of it once and for all. Not that it was right, Lord. Not that it never happened or didn't matter, or didn't hurt. We're not saying that. But we're giving it to you. And we're saying, set us free from this bitterness, Lord. Set us free from the unforgiveness. Help us, Lord, to pass on what you give us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
I know a place, a wonderful place, where accused and condemned find mercy and grace, where the wrongs we have done and the wrongs done to us
number of you have stood, and I am blessed that this will be a day that you've chosen to let it go, to forgive. Again, we're not saying it didn't hurt. We're not saying it doesn't matter, that it didn't happen or anything like that. We're simply saying, I'm not going to let it have the power over me anymore that it's always had. I'm going to quit paying the price for it. I'm going to give that to God, and I'm going to give me to Him. And I'm taking the cork out of the pipeline. I'm taking the cork of unforgiveness out of the pipeline between me and you, Lord. That's why you're standing. You're acknowledging that you need to forgive somebody. Allow me to pray for you, as I'm sure you've already been doing as you stood, but allow me to pray. Father, thank you for the love that you pour out on us, and that moves us to do what's happening right now. Only your love could do this. Only what you've done for us could move us in this way. But you have done it. And Lord, you've cleansed and forgiven us, and we just sit here and we stand here in awe of that, Lord. And Lord, we're saying this morning, take this which has been going on, and again, you know each person, Lord. Lord, in a sense, Lord, as they have stood up, Father, they're saying, I choose now to take my hand off that person's throat. I choose to quit demanding payment through my attitudes, my reactions, my distancing. Lord, I pray help each one here now to let you flood each place where there's been hurt and disappointment all with your love and your presence. And Lord, begin to warm them up again with your love. We know there's had to have been a price paid, Lord. We know there's had to have been some coldness and some distance. And Lord, just root out in any root of bitterness. Begin to stoke those flames of love. Lord, as I pray for and with each one here, Lord, we're asking you, help us to forgive those who have wronged us. Help us to make this decision to today settle it, that it's going to be gone. And Lord, forgive us of our unforgiveness, because it was wrong and it's gotten in the way. So Lord, we receive it. We choose to pass it on. Lord, let it be a new day, a new start for each one who stood up. As even now, sense a lightness, a peace. Thank you, Lord. You've spoken this to our hearts. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. When we all